have a seat. My name is Mason. I am one of the pastors here at Normandale. So if you're visiting with us, we are glad that you are here. And so there should be a QR code on a chair back in front of you or near you. If you would scan that and let us know how we can get in touch with you, that'll take you to a landing page to where you can fill out your information. We can have one of our pastors contact you. Also, this is for everyone. There's a spot there that you can click that'll take you to where you can submit prayer requests. We would love to know how we can be praying with you and for you. And at the bottom of that, there is a checkbox that you can check to where you can request for your prayer request to be prayed for at our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so let us know how it could be praying with you and for you. And I encourage you to come and join us at our Wednesday night prayer meeting this week. It'll be in here at 6:30 like it is every week. Now, last thing at that QR code spot is if you want to give online tithes and offerings, you can do it at that QR code landing page. It says give online. Or if you want to give physically, you can do it at the boxes by the back doors on your way out. There's brown boxes back there. So with that, this morning is pretty special in the life of our church. So we are celebrating today 75 years as a church here at Normandale. So yeah. So if you are visiting with us this morning, it's going to look a little bit different than a typical Sunday morning. So we actually have a couple people, we have a lot of people visiting with us this weekend, but we've got three other former pastors who are going to be here. I'm going to interview them a little bit later about their time here at Normandale and what God did during that time. And so I'm really, really excited about that. We've got a video from John Mark, who couldn't be here, but he's up in Kansas City, just congratulating us about the our 75th celebration. And so, but I want to begin by doing something kind of cool. You don't typically do this on a Sunday morning, read business minutes, because Robert's rules are the death of everyone. But this is cool because this is the organization of our church. So check this out. These are the minutes of organization of Normandale Baptist Church. So Sunday, May 11th, 1947, at 3 o'clock, in a partially completed group of people, a partially completed, I'm assuming, building. A group of people, the group wasn't partially completed, it was the page here is partially completed. A group of people met for the purpose of organizing a missional Baptist church. Service began with gospel singing, led by a Brother Wetzel. Reverend D.C. Bandy, who was the pastor of First Baptist White Settlement, he was acting as moderator. He asked for a motion for the Missionary Baptist Church to be organized. A motion was made by Brother Townley and seconded by Brother Rutledge. Motion carried. Then Reverend Elmer Dunham, who was a county missionary, gave the charge to the new church and recommended the adoption of Pendleton's Church Manual with the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, and this dude's he's the worst, and he recommended we adopt Robert's Book of Rules. The motion was made by Brother Rutledge that the church adopt the recommendation and seconded by Brother Hill. The motion carried. Motion was made by Brother Rutledge and seconded by Brother Townley that the church call Reverend R.E. Bass as pastor. The motion carried. And then Reverend R.E. Bass, being present, accepted the call. Then a sermon was brought by the new pastor, Reverend R.E. Bass. Motion made by Brother O.C. Rutledge and seconded by Brother J.I. Townley that church be called Normandale Baptist Church. And the motion carried. Motion made by Brother J.L. Townley and seconded by Brother O.G., I think it's typewriter here, I don't know. That charter of the new church be left open until the next Sunday and longer, depending on the discretion of the church, the motion carried. So those are the original minutes that organized our church 75 years and one day ago. And so so it's a cool thing for us this morning to get to celebrate that, because we are celebrating together 75 years of lifting up the name of Jesus as a community that was brought together by the blood of his blood on the cross. And so when he died on the cross, he created a new people of God, the church, universal. And for 75 years, we as Normandale Baptist Church have been meeting as a local body of that larger body. And so we're going to celebrate 75 years, memories, dance videos, whatever, of so many things from 75 years. And so this morning, in all of that, the point is this. We want to remember God's goodness and faithfulness towards us throughout that entire time, and we want to use that as the basis to then move forward in being faithful to Him for the next 75 years. That's what we're doing this morning. And so next, we're going to have Doug do our scripture reading for us, and then we're going to see a video from John Mark Yates.
Is from 105th Psalm. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, your children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance."
Happy 75th anniversary. Angie and I are both so excited for you to hit this key hallmark in the life of the church. For 75 years, as a congregation, you have provided faithful gospel witness to your community right there in Fort Worth and White Settlement and beyond, but also around the world. When I think back to our time serving there with you, some of my favorite memories are those times where we went door to door and inviting people to Easter celebrations, or even going all the way around the world and helping plant a church in Macedonia. Your heart for people and for the nations has always made you an exceptional church. I cannot begin to tell you how much it encourages me as I watch from a distance all the things that God is still doing through you. And my prayer is for you as a church to continue to do the same. So even though we still serve you in Kansas City through your seminary, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, we are so excited for what's happening on a local level there at your church. Continue pressing forward in Christ. We hope all the best for you for another 75 years.
So at this time, I'm going to have a couple men come up. So we've got John Wolgemuth. We've got Mike Tullis. We have Gary Earle. They're going to come up and do an interview. I'm actually really pumped about this because these are cool guys and I like them. But they're also going to share about their time here at Normandale. So we've got, if you guys would turn those on, they're all off. We got one for you too. Yeah.
Test.
It's on my notes here. All right, so if you are kindergarten through third grade and you want to go to kids' church, you can do that in the back door by Mr. Bobby back there. And if you're a parent and you want to walk them back there, please feel free to do so. And they're going to be released back in here following this and a sermon-ish, if we have time. No, we're going to have time for the Bible. But they'll be brought back in here after that. So if you want to walk them back in here, once I get done talking through the Bible, then go pick them up. Talking through, that's a weird way to say that, talking through the Bible. But if you want to go pick them up and bring them back in here, you're welcome to do that at that time. So now I've got these guys here. So we've got Mike Tullis here, Gary Earl, and John Wolgemuth. And if you're new to Normandale, if you're unfamiliar, these are former pastors here. And so Mike Tullis was here for 19 years. And then Gary was here for a total of 13 years as associate pastor. And then John Wolgemuth was here for 3 years, just before me. And so I got them a couple of questions. I've got a couple of questions for these guys to celebrate 75 years here to discuss what are some cool things that God did during your time here that you saw take place, just for us to get to walk down memory lane and also to celebrate God's goodness towards us as a church. So I'm just going to open it up. I'm going to start with Mike here. Oh, wrong paper. Here we go. So what is your most positive memory about your time here at Normandale?
So lots of memories, obviously, 22 years. Just you missed a few there, but that's okay. 4 years as youth pastor and 18 as pastor. Lots of memories, and I thought, what's your name? Mason. I'm just kidding. Mason sent us the questions a couple weeks ago, and I've been thinking a lot about this because, there's so much was involved in my, wow, he just taught me. We used to have those old type where we had lapel mics, long time ago. So lots went into thinking on this, and so here's the first thing I would say to you, our positive memories. And I guess it's a thank you to many, many of you in this room who helped me raise my family here. My kids, whew, they're all sitting there with my six grandchildren. And some of you in here, many of you in here, had a big hand in helping me raise. Pastor kids it's tough on pastor's kids. And I tried, Pam and I did all we could to keep them protected, but yet still experience the church life the way we were, and our run here was incredible, and you guys had lots of part of that. I think I saw Miss Ann over there. She's changed my daughter's diapers, and now my daughter's sitting over the three babies. And Tara, the perfect child, right, Ann? And so days, it just goes back to that, and I can't, our kids love the Lord, and they're raising families, and we're close, and that means more to me than anything any ministry could possibly mean. And I want you to know that you guys had a big role in that, and I appreciate that so much. So that's one of the first positive thing. The second positive thing, I guess, that I really miss, if anything, and it's a positive note, is the camaraderie that I had with the staff. 18 years, I went through a lot of staff members, good ones, and had a great time. Of course, Gary was with me toward the end, and just an incredible time. And we really took this job serious. We felt like this was God's calling on our lives, and we did. And we may not have, looking back, people say, well, would you have done things different? Of course, but I can't do that. But, boy, we did everything we thought we could do to give this church an opportunity to be Jesus with skin on in a community. And so we made choices and decisions, and we took it all so serious. Well, not always. In fact, there's something I want to show you that might prove that. Have we got that video I sent you? Watch this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go Brent. So, yeah. So I'm pretty sure that would probably be considered illegal today. But, you know, Brent, that's amazing, man. But so that was really so the staff and I really missed that part of pastoring. Because of the staff, we had so much fun together and goofy things like that. But we took our job serious. And I think God used this staff in many ways throughout the years and of how we how the church was led. And I hope that that's part of why we're still here today and celebrating this. So.
Yeah, so Gary.
So I came after that video, and Brent has gotten a lot more coordinated since then. So, no, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, kind of like Mike, you know, when I appreciate, first of all, I want to say thank you, Pastor Mason, for, you know, inviting me to come and to be a part of this. And it's an honor to be here among our Normandale family. And so as we're driving, and the last few weeks I've been thinking about that first question and the second question and third question, and Alicia and I were talking about it on the way up here. There's so many good memories. How do you choose one? And all the way from the time we were an intern. Some of you showed up and provided us groceries. Our transmission going out on the way to church. Mike bringing his extra car and showing up Sunday, and Percy giving us a check to fix our car. I mean, there's just so much. The mission trips, the staff retreats, the deacon staff retreats. You know, going to staff retreat with Percy Jones was pretty awesome. So, there's just so many things. So, with that, I mean, all of you touched our lives in some way, and I want to say thank you. But I had to come up with one word to describe Normandale, and that word has to be love. Listen, I've been through a few churches, and I haven't found a church like Normandale yet. Because Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my disciple by how you love one another. If there's anything that Alicia and I and our family learned from our time here, is that you love Jesus and that you're a follower of His. And I just want to tell you, from the time I came on and interviewed with Mike Tullis as an intern, brought three kids, twin boys, 4 years old, and a daughter that's a year old. Through the 12, 13 years that we were here, the time we left, even until today, your love for us has been real and constant. I want to say thank you, because it's the love that you showed us and that we learned about the love of Christ that we carry with us everywhere we go, because Normandale is our family. So the greatest, most important memory that I have of my time here is the love that I learned, the love of Christ that I learned from you, from Mike, and from Brent. So thank you.
Well, I am the most recent here of being able to, so I see so many newer, familiar faces. And I just want, if you are new to this church, what Gary just said, I'm going to play off that for a second, because this doesn't happen most places, that the previous three lead pastors are invited back. So John Mark was between me and Mike. John Mark would have been here if he could. That the three previous pastors are invited back to be a part of this event and loved well and cared for, like Gary just described. That doesn't happen everywhere. And that's a testimony to this church, to you, to the body of Christ. And we don't take that lightly, coming from exactly what Gary said, as I've gone back to Edmond now in Oklahoma. That's the same thing. This was such a formative time for me and my family. We came with three little boys and grew up as a family, as a pastor. And I am who I am today at Henderson Hills because of you and because of what happened here that God trained into that. I want to go back to answer the question for a second. Mason was an intern here and kind of heading out when I came in. And so the one memory I wanted to mention I'll mention something else, but he kept trying to get me to somehow work in Carrie Underwood's Jesus Take the Wheel into every sermon. I don't know, you still do that here? You still?
I try most weeks to fit
okay,
it in.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because that's such a true theological statement. I just love to work it in. But so we crossed over a little bit, and that was cool to see him to come in after we had moved on. Just such a special thing to continue the family legacy of Normandale. But a couple of things that we saw God do here while we were here. This was already starting before we moved in 2015 here, but the Swahili ministry, the service starting, really the whole thing launched in those 3 years we were here. And seeing the whole thing take off like it was. When they were meeting in this room right up here, and we couldn't literally hear anything happening in here because of what's happening in that room, that was awesome. But just to see God use that in huge ways really was a special memory. We also had an import from England in those 3 years. So the kids' ministry is grateful for that. And so Jared came in my time. So that's a fun, really meaningful thing, I think powerful. He's one of the best I've ever seen at what he does doing that. And so just know that we've been around a lot in churches, and he's incredible at that.
So what do you consider the greatest work that took place during your time here? Like, what did God do during your time here? Yeah, Mike.
So just an up front here for you guys that may not know this. So Mason's grandfather was a pastor of First Baptist Church, White Settlement, when I came here to Normandale in 94. And he was the first guy I met in the community as another pastor. So I just think that's cool, man. Talk about generations and how that runs. Dr. Miller, and then, of course, your dad pastored some as well, and here you are. Proud of you, man. So the greatest work, I thought a lot about this too, and we did a lot of things here. When you run with the church for 18 years, you do a lot, you would hope. I think back, if I could say probably, the spiritual things are what really matter for me, obviously, but you sometimes have to do things to get to that place. And so this relocation thing was a big deal for me. And this church, we started that process really in the mid-90s when we started remodeling the old building over on, what's it on, Judd? Is that right? Judd Street. And because that building had been around since 47, it had been beat up and used often, and so we started remodeling it. Little did we know that remodel would eventually lead to us selling it so we could buy this land. And it was we did those things, cash out, did it all ourselves. I mean, many of you went up there. I mean, me and Calvin spent every dadgum evening up there working, and other men as well. And it was we didn't even know what God was doing at that point. And then when we started growing, went to two services, we were out of parking. And I've just began to say, okay, Lord, what are we supposed to do here? We got about 4 acres here, and we're out of room, and what are we going to do? And, I just remember this was about in the early 2000s and maybe 2002 or 3. And I just remember saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to Glenrose and do a personal retreat. Went out there to, what's that place called? River Bend. Boy, last of the past. Went out to River Bend by myself and just asked the Lord, what am I supposed to do with this congregation? Where am I going to lead them to be what we need to be for you? And he gave me this, I don't know if some of you have heard this story, but it gave me this weird thing to do. And I know it sounds off and crazy, but he said, I want you to go and back to your office when you get back, and I want you to begin to pray about taking this church to the next level in a relocation. Well, guys, any pastor with any right mind would say, I don't want to do that. It is the worst thing you want to do because it's the hardest thing to do. And so the Lord said, I want you to go down to the store and buy some Post-it notes. And so I don't know if you know it, but they make Post-it notes that are huge. They're real big. They've been back then. And I bought a pack of them and went back and posted them up in my office. I wouldn't let the staff in there for days because they never thought I was probably a little crazy. And I started writing on those Post-it notes what we're going to do. Relocate, buy land, how are we going to pay for it? And just started putting those out on my wall. And it just started thinking, okay, Lord, if you want this to happen, you got to work all this out because this is way over my head. I missed that seminary class. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord began to just put that thing together. And we did some crazy things. We were just talking a while ago or yesterday afternoon up here with some members. We did church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because we didn't have a church building. And so we borrowed the old church building because we really didn't own it anymore. And they let us come in and we did church from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't have morning church because this building was being built. Guys, that's the stupidest thing a pastor could ever do. But we did it. We went from a large number to a small number. And I'm thinking, oh, this is really good for relocation. But we did it. And we ended up selling the building and doing that and doing whatever we had to do to make this work. And I know some probably thought, man, you're on a mission. Well, I was, and I believe it was God's mission. And so we got here and built this building. And you know, here's the thing about Normandale, and I know Normandale pretty well, at least then I did, is we never have been, quote, a rich church. Boy, but you were faithful. I mean, it was amazing that how money came in. But I didn't have a rich guy. I know pastors who I used to run with, and they'd say, well, I got about 5 guys in my church. I can get a million from them tomorrow. I'm like, wow, I don't have that. So we were just trusting God week by week to supply. And you know what? He did. And so when I come back and sit here in this and I go, wow, God. And I know y'all have been through some floods and crazy stuff. But, you know, look at what God's done. And here we are. Relocation 2008. How many years is that? 14 years. And here we are, and that's really pretty cool. So if I had to say one thing, that's really what I remember a lot about this church.
Gary?
Well, kind of along those same lines, I came on staff originally part-time, and then the previous administrator, education pastor, Adam Davis, left to go to Tennessee. So Mike had talked to me about coming on full-time. So I said, well, yeah, that'd be great. And so one of my first meetings was with Mike and the long-range planning team and the architect and the general contractor. And I'm just kind of sitting behind everybody just trying to, I mean, Mike had years for this to process this, and I'm just trying to play catch-up, right? And so that was a great experience for me to be able to watch that and all these things and begin to learn. And then Mike said, okay, you need to be on site when the contractors are there. I'm like, say what? So, but he, and that's one thing I loved about Mike. He always trusted me to get the job done. And that empowered me. And I was here the first day the piece of equipment came off the trailer. And I was here the day that we finally got the keys from the, what's the guy's name, whatever you call him, the guy that wouldn't give us the keys till we got everything just right. Get our certificate of occupancy. And as I think about that whole process, and just as a young pastor learning and from Mike and watching the long-range planning team work together and watching how that vision came from him and then the long-range planning team and the staff and then the church, and you see, I mean, we're about to do something that is way beyond us, right? But it wasn't impossible for the Lord. And so I'm kind of like a fish out of water, just learning as I go. And through that, as I look back and I see how all that took place, and even the day that I had like 4 or 5 trailers and a box trailer and a cattle trailer, and we had all these trailers lined up that one morning at the old location, everything's boxed up and color-coded, and, you know, this is going to children's, this is going to youth, and, man, everybody showed up. And I've moved a few times myself, but I'd never moved to church. That was a whole other realm of craziness. But we did it. Nobody complained. We had a good time. And as I look back, I see that the Spirit of God unified this church under the vision that He gave our pastor. And God gave us the strength to do it. And we did it. I've never seen that in any other church. That could only be what God could do through us. Now, I will tell you, there were things about this building that drove me nuts, like the sprinklers and the cracks in the wall and the high water bills because the sprinkler valve broke. And And the tornado come over and flipped over air conditioners. And man, just so many things, you know. But can I tell you this? The vision was not to build a building. The vision was to continue to build a kingdom. Because we are the building of God. And that's always been powerful to me. As I go to any other ministry, I think about what God did here. And I rejoice in that. And I thank God for you.
Yeah, so when I think about the 3 years I was here, but then since the 4 years since we've been gone, just to see how Normandale is a church that, the phrase is, punches above its weight, if you know what I mean, that you and we as a church have done so much more with very little than most churches do with a whole lot. And you think about the worldwide impact that this church has had over the years, it's incredible. The missionaries that have sent out, but then the teams that you have sent along the ways, I mean, there's substantially larger churches that don't send a third, a fourth of what Normandale sends. And it's not financial in any way. Just like we've said, we've kind of been restricted in some ways that way, but it doesn't matter because the Lord is using you, using us in the process. So the Swahili ministry is a fruit of that, of just going locally, going to people who've come here, and then going over to the ends of the earth. It's been amazing to watch. I think that was just something to be a part of for 3 years was really special to me.
And so lastly, what would you just want to say to our church as we move into the future?
Yeah, so again, just kind of thinking this through. I've been reading this book about the kingdom of God. I know all of you know what that phrase means in a sense, but this book has really challenged my thinking about what the kingdom of God looks like. And Jesus said this about it in Luke 4:43. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God because that is why I was sent. So I began to study that and went back and pulled out some old seminary books and started thinking about it. And Jesus used that term 120 times in his three-year ministry. 120 times. He used that phrase 10 times more than he used the phrase, you need to be saved. Now, Jesus wasn't making a statement there that you don't need to be saved because you can't be part of the kingdom of God unless you're saved. I know this sounds like I'm preaching, but I'm not. But I got to thinking about this phrase, what does the kingdom of God look like? What was Jesus talking about that he mentioned something 120 times in his gospels, in the gospel accounts? And what I've thought about and really pinpointed this down is this is the kingdom of God. This is what he's talking about. It's people who have been born again by the blood of Jesus and live out their faith. It's not a chair in a church. It's not a position in a church. I'm just not sure Jesus was talking about that when he said kingdom of God. I think he was talking about people who love him and want to follow him and want to be, and I've used this phrase for many years, Jesus with skin on in the community around them. And so my encouragement to you would be the kingdom of God. I don't know what that means for this particular church because I'm not a member here any longer. I probably still am. We never take, Baptists never take people off the roll. But I think that is my encouragement to you is go out and be the kingdom of God as God leads you and what that looks like. And that to me, and you know, for you that I preached to for many years, heard me say this all the time, I believe the most effective evangelism is personal evangelism. Today's not a day where you knock on doors anymore. I mean, maybe you do, but it's a little spooky, especially in Texas. But you can go out and be the kingdom of God for you and for the kingdom and bring people here. And that's what this kingdom of God thing is beginning to mean to me. The people that I play golf with on Thursdays in Granbury that use foul language, I've been challenged to be the kingdom to them and be the example to them because they don't know the kingdom. I do, and so I have to go out and do that. So that would be my challenge to you. And I think your future is great here. I do believe you have a good guy here, and I hope you treat him well, as you did me. But I mean that. And I think John hit it on the nail. It's pretty creepy for creepy is maybe not the word, but to get invited back. Most churches would say, hey, we don't ever see that guy again. But, you know, somebody, so last time I was on this stage was Bobby Jones's funeral. And I preached Bobby Jones's funeral. And somebody walked up to me and said, how do you feel when you're up there? And I said, and this is how I answered it. I feel at home. I do. I mean, I could literally sit right here and feel as comfortable as anywhere in the world, because this was our home for so many years. And that kingdom of God thing resonates with me and with you, and we're all part of the same kingdom. So because I go to a Baptist church in Granbury doesn't mean we're not part of the kingdom. And so I want to challenge you to be the kingdom. Be what Jesus called us to be, the kingdom of God.
As I've considered this question too, I think it's twofold. First of all, I want to challenge you to remember the past, but don't live in it. Yesterday was awesome. Saw a lot of pictures I'd never seen before. And Brother Mike, I was not in those pictures either, so it's okay. I saw people I'd never met before. They were pre-me, you know. They weren't pre-Mike, but they were pre-me. Saw a lot of people I did know. And it was good to catch up. And I never forget what God did in my heart and did in this church. And I've also, and it's hard sometimes as a pastor and your kid, move your kids. And I've told him this before, and I've had to tell myself, if you're always looking back, you never see what's coming ahead. And Isaiah says, don't consider the past. Behold, I do a new thing today. Remember what God's done in the past to encourage you to walk in faith with what God wants to do today and tomorrow. A lot of churches live in the past. That's why they're dying. They don't live for what God wants to do right now. Another thing is, I wanted to challenge you in this, and this really challenged my heart as I read through the book of Acts. And we at our church do the Wednesday night meal. That was probably some of my favorite times. I get an amen. There you see, that was good times. And even though I did the cooking, it was pretty good. So the fellowship was better than the food, I promise you. But she was going to lead our ladies' class that night. And this is this verse in Acts 20 when Paul talks about he was constrained to go to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit had told him that he is going to be imprisoned and suffer in every town he goes to. And this is what Paul said. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. Listen, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Knowing that what he is going through, God already told him, it's not going to be easy. He said, I don't consider myself. I just want to finish well. We live in a messed up world. Our culture is controlled by Satan. There's so many social issues. There's so many cultural issues. But don't allow the enemy to sway you from what the main call that God has given you and I. And that's to proclaim a risen Savior. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Norman Dale. Remember the past. Remember what God has done. But don't live in it, because God wants to do something new today. And stay true and be faithful to what God's called you to do.
And I think that new thing, tying all of this back together, is 14 years ago, the move to this location had a bit of forethought, prophecy of what was coming. And the Lord has now shown you what is coming all around you. And it's people from moving all over the country to this location. And people lament that, right? House prices, whatever, lamenting that. But the reality is, there's people moving here who have never lived around Christians. And so the harvest, Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. You don't have to go far to know that harvest field is literally at your doorstep. And so God moving Normandale to this location that many years ago with nothing out here, to now see how many people are moving to your front door, including the land sold right behind us, right? But to see that opportunity that you not only pray for the Lord of Harvest to send laborers, and you would then become one of those laborers as you go out. You are, as we've heard a number of times already, you are one of those workers. So don't think that it's just about the church and that we're here. Yes, we're going to do this well, but you have a responsibility, each one of you, to be a laborer. And it's in your sphere of influence. It's the people that you know. It's the people that are moving here. That you might not door-to-door, but you figure out ways to get in schools and figure out ways to be right in their world and playing sports together and just taking intentionality behind everything you do. Living sent is the way we say it at our church right now. Every time at the end of the service, remember I did, you are sent, right? You are sent to do what? To be a laborer, to be a harvester in God's harvest. And so you have an incredible opportunity. That's why when we look back at this, we see how God was already starting it, but now when we come back, it's been 4 years. God has brought it. It's happened. And so let's take advantage of it as Normandale for the kingdom of God.
Hey, let me break just a second. Let me break something. So, John, that's so true because when we relocated in 2008, is this okay? I do this? Okay.
You have 2 minutes.
And so I took. So when we got here in 2008, you guys remember what happened in 2008? The economy went, and everything from 2007 as we were building, everybody in the city, and I was meeting with the city planners about this because this was a big project, and they were telling me, "Oh, this area is going to grow. It's going to boom. Houses are going to pop up." And then when literally almost the week that we relocated and got here, the economy tanked, and everything went on hold. The roads that were supposed to be built went on hold, and I'm thinking, "Oh, this is just great," you know. But we were okay. But now, Pam and I drive by here all the time, just because our kids live out here now, and I drive by this area and I see all these houses, and I think, "Wow, that's what we came here for." All those houses sitting out here, it's crazy. There weren't the only houses that were here were the few built over there where Brent lives, wasn't it? Do you still live there? Okay, good. And so when I see these houses, I'm like, wow, that's what this church was put here for. And boy, what an opportunity. So anyway, sorry.
And so I'm going to switch up the order. So I want to share something with you, and then Brent's going to come up and pray for us as we close the service. But there's something that I was reading this week. I was talking like, what do you talk about at a 75th anniversary? And so I turned it. I was like, oh, it's perfect. In Joshua. So Joshua, at the beginning of the book, what happens is the people of God just get to the promised land, and they're standing on the side of the Jordan River. They're looking across towards the city of Jericho. And God says, okay, now it's time for you to cross over. And I'm going to demonstrate for you my goodness. And what he does is he then says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go stand out in the middle of the river. And once you guys get out in the middle of the river, I'm going to stop it. Just like he did the Red Sea. And he parts the river and he has the whole nation cross the Jordan River into the promised land, the land that he promised them years, hundreds of years before he was going to give to them. He stopped the river. They crossed over on dry ground, and they cross over onto the other side. And when Joshua gets to the other side, God tells him, I want you to get men, one from each tribe, to go back into the middle of that river, and I want each of those men to pick up a big rock and carry it up with them. And so he got 12 men to go over and pick up each one of those big rocks. They bring it out, and then he's like, okay, we're going to set it here, make a memorial here. And people are like, why did we carry these big rocks out from the middle of the river? And Joshua tells them this here in Joshua 4, starting in verse 19. It says, the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal in the eastern limits of Jericho. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you, until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. And what he just said is we're setting up a memorial for us to be reminded of the good things that God has done in the past, his goodness, his faithfulness towards us. And we're setting up this reminder so that way when your kids wonder about it, and they're like, wait, what's the weird rock thing? You can tell them God was good to us. God was faithful to us. He let us cross that river on dry ground. And so now he wants us to look at that and remember that so that way when we move forward into the future as we're living in the promised land, we look back at his past faithfulness and that would encourage us then to move forward with even greater faithfulness towards him in the future. And that's what happens here and that's what we're doing today. And so we are here today to remember God's goodness towards us as a people bought and brought together by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And we are remembering his goodness towards us in the past. And now we want to press forward in faithfulness to Jesus as we move forward into another 75 years. And so next, we're going to have Brent, the longest serving pastor in the history of Normandale, to come. And he is going to pray for us. And then when he is done praying, you are dismissed this morning. Wait, do we have the kids back yet? Kids are on the way. So listen, we're gonna wait just a second for the kids to get back in here.
I could dance.
No.
Just real quick before I pray. Nope.
Hey, I want to say this real quick. On the 75th anniversary, I feel like this is worth noting. Brent Lightsey is the greatest sport in the world. He is the butt of every joke from the stage, and he just takes it. Like a champ.
I did that to myself, though, now when I tell you that. It's not a joke. That's amazing. I will say there's a couple things. There's a couple things with that. One is people say, why don't we do those anymore? Like, that's exactly why we don't do it. You know how hard it is for people to take you serious or to talk theology once they've seen that? It's really an ender. And then also, in my mind, it looked way better back in the day. I don't know. I think that wasn't a good video. It was way better in real life. Yeah, the second one was better. We did another one. Yeah. Anyway.
If you guys don't understand, we're stalling right now.
Yeah.
We need the kids back in here.
Hey, there they come.
There they come. Because here's the thing. It is a train wreck if we dismiss everyone before the kids are back in here. And so that's what's going on right now. But here they come.
Cool. You want me to pray as they're coming in? Pray over the kids as they come in. All right. So let's pray to wrap up the service today. Dear Lord, we come before you, and we do thank you so much, just as we remembered today and are reminded. And what we're celebrating today, God, honestly, is your faithfulness throughout generations. As we are like the Israelites, and we have moments where we are faithful, but we have tons of moments where we are running after other things, and we take our eyes off of you. But it's amazing that you use us anyway. And so as a church, like we were challenged today, I pray that we are faithful, that we are available, as we know there are so many opportunities to be a light in this community, to be a light to people who live right in our neighborhood and so and all across the world. So God, I pray that we would just that we'd be humble, we'd be available, we'd just be we would care enough to try to step out and point others towards you, realizing honestly that it's not about us, it's not about even how great our church is, but we're trying to point people towards you because you are faithful, you are amazing, you do continue to redeem messed up people. And so, God, I pray that we can just be, a light to that, and that we can point people towards you, and you'll continue to change lives, and continue to use us. And we are thankful for this body of Christ and the family that it does represent. And God, I pray that many of these families will be able to raise their kids together and be able to shape each other's lives as we do life together here and Normandale. I thank you for just the memories, the relationships that are made, and just thank you for Jesus and for being faithful. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.